Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Kevin, Ian Rappaport has a report out that has the next head coach potentially for the Dallas Cowboys.
Ian Rappaport is a douche.
My friend Chad Dukes right there.
Oh, God, I hate that guy.
I'm with him after the show today.
Nice.
Go F yourself, dude.
Chad Dukes is a good guy. He'll be hopping on.
You get stuff wrong all the time, and everybody knows it.
I don't, but I can understand what he thinks about Ian Rappaport.
That is the last time we have that son of a on this show.
Wow. Oh my God, is that all about Ian Rappaport?
Yeah, I have a lot.
Yeah, it was kind of a rant.
Wow.
He was kind of mad. That's why
you've been rap sheet. Yeah. Tell him I think he stinks.
You better show up on his show today, Kevin.
Good luck with your life.
Otherwise, this is going to be you in D.C.
Actually, I kind of hope.
We're about to cut a whole bunch of promos just on Kendrick Perkins, I feel like now.
So there you go. That's his thoughts on Ian
Rappaport. I kind of want you to stand him up so we can have a bunch of Kevin Hagelin props like that.
But you know what I'll do? I'll call in and save the day. I'll be like, he'll be like, oh, your co-host though.
That's fair.
He'll just have some things to say about you. Waiting on Kendrick Perkins to get after us right now.
What a trashy dude.
Well, I don't think that about him, but in the meantime, Kevin, Ian Rappaport did have a report about the potential new head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. And here is what he had to say.
Jason Garrett is not getting fired midseason. That much we know, but it is obvious. His job is very much in doubt with the Dallas Cowboys. He needs to win the division, and keep winning into the playoffs. But a name you're going to hear a lot over the next couple weeks and the next couple months, Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley, considered to be a potential replacement for Jason Garrett if he gets fired. Here is why. The Jones family already has a close relationship with Lincoln Riley. It centers around John Stephen, who is Jerry Jones's grandson, who was at the time a high school quarterback, very highly touted quarterback. Lincoln Riley did an in-home visit with the Joneses. At that point, they realized how brilliant he was. They watched film together. It went extremely well. And then Stephen Jones and his son actually took a visit to Oklahoma as well. Oklahoma tried to get him to walk on. It didn't happen, but that was the genesis of this relationship. And when the Jones family realized something special about Lincoln Riley, he loves Oklahoma, but as one person close to him said, you know, Rich, it's the Cowboys.
I really like the idea that all of his visits for colleges and stuff were, or like some of them were low-key interviews for potentially the next Cowboys coach. That's called efficiency right there, Corey.
Yeah, no, do you love hearing that Jerry Jones and the Jones family has had a meeting via their high school recruiting?
Yes.
Like, I don't know if that's against the rules. I don't know how it works or anything.
That's not against the rules.
That's amazing. Yeah, their kid was visiting a coach, so they had a sit down because what happens? All coaches come and sit down and talk to these guys. Now, it's behind smoky closed doors and everything, but
I don't know if it works that same way anymore.
They sit down and have that conversation, and here they are, and the Jones family's going, I like the sharp mind on that kid. And here's what happens. So Chris Peterson, if he takes a step back to recharge, Kevin, we saw that yesterday from Washington. Maybe he got word that the coaching staff with the Dallas Cowboys was about to get blown up. Maybe he wants the job. Maybe he wants to work with Kellen Moore. Maybe they're working together to find another place to work. And Lincoln Riley's already in line to be the guy that's going to be here. You don't need Kellen Moore if Lincoln Riley's here. Lincoln Riley's the offensive coordinator. Yeah. He's the guy that's going to run that. Now you got to change. You got to figure out your defense. You got to figure out what's going on there. But Lincoln Riley didn't seem to mind walking into Oklahoma and being told, "Here's your staff. Here you go. Let's roll." He was like, "Yeah, that's fine by me. Let's rock this thing." So I feel like there's a possibility. We fell in love with the Chris Peterson mind yesterday, but that might be a whole nother thing. That might be going to a different spot, and Lincoln Riley could be the potential coach there. Now, go ahead.
I think about it in terms of, you know, we had Steven on, talked about the Brett Maher thing and, you know, other potential positional issues where you're like, well, you know, we always want to look at ways to improve our team. I think that exact same theory should hold firm with the head coach. Is trot out some other replacements, interview some other people, and see how you think personally they stack up against Jason Garrett, both in terms of their own versions of execution, how they can draw up plays, what their vision for the franchise would be, any number of different things. I have no issue whatsoever with the Cowboys going down every possible avenue to determine if there's a coach out there that they think would be better than Garrett.
Well, let's do a quick radio.com rewind, Kevin. Radio rewind. And Jerry this morning was talking about Jason Garrett. I think there's a level of comfort he feels based on what he said here.
I felt strongly that we could go and do that with a young group that still had experience to get. I felt we could do that with Jason Garrett there. He could be the safety net in case the wheels came off, in case you had a flat tire on the freeway, in case you had a problem. You had Jason Garrett, a seasoned coach, a guy that's been in many, many coaching situations, coaches' rooms, and more important, has made it a real art to studying other great coaches that coach other sports. And so I felt like in Jason, we had a guy right there that if things went sideways on us, that was really qualified to step in at the right time.
So I think there was a level of comfort of if something goes wrong, we got a guy that's a good leader, if anything else. Now, one of the things I think that kind of stands out there is he talks about his studying of other coaches. I wonder if Jason Garrett's never become a real coach of his own.
What do you mean by that?
He's spent a lot of time trying to mimic what all the other great coaches are. And it's great to have that foundation, those rules that they have. But sometimes you have to break what you are. Sometimes you have to be something that you are rather than what everybody else is that became that. And I think Belichick's that, man. He finds the loopholes, finds a way to do something just a little different. Jimmy Johnson was that. He had his method, his way about going about it. While he may have learned from some great guys along the way, and some great rules and foundations, sometimes you have to say, but I'm also me. And I don't know if Jason Garrett is, you know, a guy that just kind of says, okay, here's the template. We run through the template.
And I wanted to throw this out there because I know some people are like, oh, Garrett's the worst. You need to fire him. Okay, fair enough. But that's why I'm so fascinated by whether it's Lincoln Riley, you've heard McDaniels, Urban, so many other names out there, is because the Cowboys aren't going to just fire him without having like some semblance of a game plan in mind. And so that's why I like hearing about the path that they might be looking at for Lincoln Riley or whoever it is, because the quicker that they have a solution or a plan or a replacement or whatever, the more likely you are to get rid of Jason Garrett.
The other thing, though, that stood out, cut eight, Shippy, was does Jason Garrett have a bar he needs to reach save his job?
Because there is no bar. When I say that, I don't mean that there's not a level of a point where it's I determine it's just not working or I determine that it's working. But there's many things, and there's boxes to be checked. There's a positive. Anybody that does that Jason Garrett checks a lot of positive boxes when you start looking at coaches and the aptitude and the quality of coach. They're mistaken. He's got a tremendous list of things that he's about.
I think this was the same area where he said something to the effect of, I know some people have said, like, he's been here 10 years and hasn't won a Super Bowl. You can find 1,000 coaches like that. Do you have that, Cliff?
No, I have the one where he says he's going to be coaching in the NFL next season.
Okay, I want to get to that in just 1 second. But I decided to take up the Jerry challenge on that. And I went through the coaches I could find in the Super Bowl era, and I believe that I came up with not 1,000, but 9.
Okay.
I found 9 coaches in the Super Bowl era. There might be a couple more, but I found 9 that coached at least 10 years and didn't make it to the Super Bowl.
This, Kevin, is why, like, Jason Garrett hates the fact that we have NFL Game Pass. And a lot of guys that are like, hey, I'm going to throw something out there, nobody in the past could prove you wrong. Now, with all the advanced statistics, with all of the information databases out there, we can find real facts like this in real time that can help you with the analytics of things to prove, hey, you know what? Maybe I should look at it a little differently.
And so Jack Del Rio, Marvin Lewis, Dick Geron, Norv Turner, Dave Wonstadt, Dennis Green, Jim Mora, Wade Phillips, Marty Schottenheimer. That's the list of coaches that came up with that coached in the Super Bowl era, that coached at least 10 years without making a Super Bowl. So it's not like we're led to believe, and that's the thing that bothers me about this narrative. We're led to believe that, well, making the Super Bowl is really difficult and almost nobody can do it. So Garrett's situation is not that unique. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. He would be the 10th coach in the Super Bowl era. So we're talking about more than 50 years to coach at least 10 years without being in a Super Bowl. That is not a common thing. Is it difficult to get to the Super Bowl? Yes. But guess what? You usually get fired before that, or you quit, or whatever. And this isn't just for one team. This is total. All right? And so he would be 10. He would be coach number 10 in the Super Bowl era that coached at least a decade and didn't make the Super Bowl. That is not everybody.
I love this tweet that we got from Joshua. The wheels fall off. Like Jerry Jones said. Tavon Austin, no punt return. Block punt. Patriots put nobody back for punt return. Too many men on the field. Play calls in the Minnesota game. Not being ready to start games. Dak in the glove. The safety net has too many holes. All these things. And that's what Jason Witten was talking about a little earlier too, right? He was like, look, there are all these things that you have to do. All these things that you have to do to win, right? You have every week there's something. And somebody has to be the great organizer of it all. And I saw somebody text in and say, look, Jerry is obviously blinded by his loyalty and nothing's changing. It is. It's not changing today. It's not changing this week. And I've said all along, Kevin, I believe that it's not changing until they are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. And you know what? That might be in a playoff game. They might finally be mathematically eliminated from the playoffs in the playoffs. I also don't believe that they will go on a run and that Jason Garrett's job will be saved. I think they'll go on a run and they'll say, okay, we have had our time. Thank you. And they'll move on about it. But at the moment, that's why this discussion is real. Jerry Jones was just talking about Jason Garrett in the past tense. Now he was saying, you know, I thought these things, that's why I made the decision to stick with this and run with this whenever I made the young coaching staff. But there are times when you hear Jerry talking and you're like, oh, hold on. He sounds like he's ready to make that move.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, the NFL player that actually bet against his own team. Why isn't this a bigger story? Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors and Kevin Hagelin. We also have Shippy in studio right now. You can call in 877-881-1053 to bid on the bay that we are going to be at for Jared Sandler swinging for a cause, Kevin.
$1 million.
Yes, if you want to bid $1 million, you can do that.
That'd be great.
I want to hang out with some people. We got Craig Ludwig. We got Bryant Broadus joining us there. And we also have Mike Adams from the Texas Rangers World Series team right there hanging out with us. We will be playing some Topgolf as well as Shippy, myself, and Kevin. It's going to be a fun event, so come on out because we're the Party Bay. Everybody refers to us as the Party Bay,
yeah.
And it's going to be well worth your time. And you know what, Kevin? I think we finish second the first year?
We did.
And third the second year, so like we're always finishing there at the very top. We want the high-end golfers for this Topgolf tournament because I want that number one spot. So if you're great at golf and you want to bid on this, I want to see you there because I want to win this thing this year. All right, Kevin?
All right.
Yeah, Kevin.
Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
And we start with, man, I love the ruthlessness in which the Patriots operate their business. I also wish that we could cheat to the level that they do so we could win more. But the ruthlessness that they have in their business is awesome. Kai Forbath was picked up to replace Nick Folk, who had an emergency appendectomy. So he stepped in there, made a field goal, but missed an extra point. One game, one missed extra point, cut.
Don't miss.
Now they're going to look for their fifth kicker of the year.
Yeah, don't miss. And you know what? You can, until you find that right guy, that's, hey, we're going to give everybody the chance, but if they can't do it that one time, bam. Because you have to send a message to the rest of the team that that's not good enough too, right?
Yeah, they could have had Young Ho Koo.
Yeah, absolutely they could have.
But Atlanta scooped them up.
Now look at their record.
They're crushing it.
But that's the thing, Kevin, is like you have...
The kicking game is crushing
it. The rest of the team has to understand that that is not good enough. And that's more than anything, that's the message that Bill Belichick is delivering.
Let's go back to last night's Monday night football game. The Seahawks defeated the Vikings 37-30. Russell Wilson improved to 9-2 in his career on Monday Night Football. Kirk Cousins, on the other hand, he's had a little bit of a tougher go. He is 0-8 on Monday Night Football, which is the worst record in the history of Monday Night Football. So, but that team's really good. That's what I was told. And that's why they beat us.
I don't know, man. That's
0-8. Worst in the history of the NFL.
There were times when he played well last night. There were times when they got a lot of pressure on him.
They did still score 30 points.
And they forced him to do some things. I mean, that Seahawks team is a good team, man. That's what you have to tell yourself on a day like this.
Yeah, that is what you have to tell yourself. For the Vikings, the good news is, so it looked like it could be bad. Dalvin Cook had to leave the game with a seeming clavicle injury. But he says his chest/shoulder injury will not keep him out for week 14. So he said he'll be fine. Mike Zimmer echoed those statements, said it's not serious, so he should be okay. Now, I wanted to bring this story up. It came out last night, but my son was really concerned, and I don't know if other Cowboys fans are concerned. He goes, did you see that article that said Amari Cooper is not going to be here next year?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but Jerry said I make those decisions. I don't see why he shouldn't be here the rest of his career. So, Amari Cooper said this about coming back to the Cowboys. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Of course, like I just said, I love it here. I want to be here. I love this situation, my teammates. I feel like this is the place for me. So, Amari Cooper doesn't want to leave. Jerry Jones says he doesn't envision him not finishing his career here. So, you know, probably going to be okay, guys.
Yeah, no, he absolutely is one of those guys you kind of want to tailor your team around because of what he's capable of, but there are some question marks, I guess, concerning still like what he does on the road. I have some interesting audio we'll play at 12:00 today, Kevin, about Amari Cooper and what he does on the road and his thoughts there.
Let's go to the Cowboy that could have been the tackling machine. Not that you need that. Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams suffered an injury in their already sad loss to the Bengals 22-6 over the weekend. Adam Gase said, quote, I think it's a legit week-to-week injury. Jamal Adams has not missed a game in the NFL thus far, but they essentially said They need to make sure that he can go full throttle before they put him out there. Plus, I mean, their season is over. They're not making the playoffs, so really seems like there's no rush to get him back out there. You already know what his trade value is. It's very high.
Yeah, go ahead and trade him immediately.
Would you still want him?
No. I'm good.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to build from the draft, Kevin. As long as we can rack up these top 10 draft picks, we're going to be okay.
Okay. How have our last few top picks gone?
Listen, I'm gonna commit everything to Will McClay focusing on the draft, Kevin. Not anybody else. I'm not going to let a coach in the room whenever it comes time to draft. Mm-hmm. Although I've been told by my sources that Will McClay wears the badge on both of those guys. On Taco and Tristan Hill. Well, actually, maybe just Taco.
And you're still sticking with him, huh?
I think he just fell on the sword.
Okay. Let's just not let certain people pick defensive linemen
Absolutely,
anymore.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Let's talk about Devlin Hodges. Well, so word is that Devlin Hodges is going to continue to start for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But nobody cares about that. What do they care about Devlin Hodges?
Oh, because his name's Duck.
His name's Duck because he's the Alabama State Duck Calling Champion. So this week, Devlin Hodges and James Washington are probably in the woods right now together. That's how you bond as teammates.
Yeah.
So it turns out that James Washington also enjoys duck hunting. And so they said if they were able to beat Cleveland, which they did 20-13, they would go duck hunting this week.
Nice. So everybody's going?
Just those two.
Why not invite everybody else?
Maybe they wanted to be alone.
Doing what?
Bonding.
Hunting? Hunting duck?
Sure.
His name's Duck.
Yeah. No, they're definitely looking for some tail
All
out
right.
there.
Yep.
Some duck tails.
Yes.
Ooh. There you go. Man, but I'm just saying, does this not strike you as something that if they lose their next game is going to drive people insane? Like, this feels like Romo all over again, where people are like, maybe you should be at home studying the playbook and we wouldn't have lost this game. Just be prepared for some backlash, I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably so.
All right, fair enough.
You don't know, there's no days off, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
But bonding is important. I believe so.
Okay.
That's why we're going to be at Jared Sandler's thing on Sunday night, bonding with everybody.
There you go. We need to win that bidding, too. 877-881-1053. Us, Broadus, Mike Adams. It's going to be an extravaganza, man. Oh, yeah, Craig Ludwig, too. Let's talk about the Jaguars, whether they have decided they are going to keep Gardner Minshew as their quarterback for the rest of the season. When we first reported that yesterday, I just knew he was going to start the next game. Now they said he's going to start for the rest of the season, so their free agent acquisition, Nick Foles, will be sitting on the bench for the rest of the year.
Oh, man. I like the move because you kind of have to tell yourself sometimes, do I really want to win, or is the money that I spent in the offseason more important? And, Kevin, we talk about that with the Cowboys. We talk about it with the Rangers, the Mavericks. Every team, we ask those questions about, hey, what are you telling the truth when you tell us we're trying to get the best guys on the field? Because it seems like you have the best guy. Now, you clearly see more in practice than we do. But in those situations, what's your take? Well, man, this guy was winning for us, and we want to give him the opportunity to. Maybe Nick isn't just completely right either. Maybe that's in his best interest as well.
Are you familiar with the musician Sean Kingston?
Yes.
Are you?
I can't remember the song, but it was a good song.
We've pointed out I don't know much about contemporary music.
I know Sean
music.
Kingston. Haven't heard from him in a while.
Well, you're about to hear a lot more from him. Antonio Brown posted a snippet of a song he's working on with Sean Kingston last night on Instagram. He said he's going to talk about real-life stories, including his run-ins with the law and a near-fatal shooting. So
oh, wow.
Antonio Brown going to roll back into the public consciousness via his music and Instagram. The Broncos, they defeated the Chargers 23-20 over the weekend. However, Derek Wolfe, their defensive end, suffered an injury with 2 minutes and 22 seconds left in the game. It looks like he will be out for the rest of the season. He already has 7 sacks this year, so that's going to be tough for them. Although that's another team that, like, you know, they're not going to the playoffs or anything like that. But let's talk about the most interesting story in the NFL. And I honestly want to know from people, 877-881-1053, why isn't this a bigger story? Is it because of the team he plays for? Josh Shaw, the defensive back for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, we threw out the news the other day that he had been suspended for the rest of the year and suspended for all of 2020 for gambling on football. He is a football player. Now it turns out he was gambling on his own team. And it also turns out that he was betting against his own team.
Hold on. He was betting that they would lose?
So.
Now that right there is saying, I think I can sway a little bit of this. You know, I think I can change a little bit of this.
He's also injured.
Oh, maybe he can't. Maybe he... Okay, so hold on. That's fine.
What do you mean?
He couldn't do anything to change the game.
Oh, he couldn't?
No.
He's in the locker room. Or he could be in the locker room.
You think he's planting seeds over there? Playing secession?
I kind of do. So check this out.
Scheming and plotting.
And this wasn't just like a bet that he just made for fun. He clearly thought this out because it goes down like this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were ahead of the Cardinals 17-13 at halftime in Week 10. Tampa Bay was installed as a 1-point favorite for the second half. And so he bet Tampa Bay in the second half. So this is like an ongoing game he's tracking, and he's like, oh yeah, we're going down in the second half. Unfortunately for him, the Cardinals lost the game, but outscored Tampa Bay 14-13 in the second half. So his bet against his team failed, even though his team lost. It was one of 3 second half bets that he made. Why isn't this a bigger story?
So he makes the bet, like, after halftime, he goes and makes a call?
Yeah, live betting.
So he made a 3-game parlay for second half bets, and one of them was his team that he said, you're a 1-point underdog, you're not going to cover it.
Did he...
Love it.
Oh, man. And did he win them all?
No, I just told you he lost his own.
All of them?
No, well, that's the thing about parlays. You got to get them all if you want to win.
You got to win that. Okay. From the 817, I love this. I wonder how many players actually do that and don't get caught.
I more than zero.
Yep.
Man.
I know that's like super generic. That could be one, but I think it could be a lot more. I'm just saying, I absolutely believe that happens. And remember the thing we went around for the policy. So Roger Goodell cut right more to the chase when he released a statement. If you work in the NFL in any capacity, you may not bet on NFL football. But remember the thing we went through yesterday, the code of conduct. You can't do it through a third party, like a relative or anything. So you can't ask a relative to bet on it. You can't go through like some guy you met at the bus station. How they're going to catch you from doing that, I don't know.
I want an episode of All or Nothing on Devlin Hodges called The Code of Conduct. And it's just him out there conning people all the time.
I'm really concerned if you've been listening to this entire segment or just thinking of Devlin Hodges' duck bits the entire time.
Duck bits are funny, man.
Okay, fair enough. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, do we hold out hope for Kendrick Perkins? Or do we ask, why is Jerry always so optimistic? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors and Kevin Hagelin. We got Shippy in studio as well, pre-gaming for the G-Bag Nation, as you'll get them on your drive home this afternoon. But we're always hanging around for some G-Bag. By the way, 877-881-1053, if you would like to bid on the Bay that we're going to be doing on Sunday night, December 8th. That is this Sunday, yeah. By the way. So you're bidding on it, on the opportunity to party with us. Shippy is the king of parties, so we'll have him at the helm. We also have Brian Broaddus, Craig Ludwig, and Mike Adams in our bay. I want to win it this year. We finished second. We finished third. As much as I love to party, I want to win this freaking thing, Kevin. So it's up to you.
You can roll along with us. By the way, there's prizes for the winners, so I'm just saying. You want to get that prize, be with us.
Absolutely. Dak Prescott had an opportunity to talk yesterday, and I'm pretty sure he wasn't partying because he felt like he was, you know, kind of getting asked a lot of the same questions. But he did have he did say this, and I think it really stood out, Kevin, that whenever he finally has, I guess, fed up with everything, this is how Dak feels right now.
When it's times like this, it's more to lead by example. Talk's cheap, right? We've talked a lot, and we've talked a bunch and gotten ourselves right to where we are. So in a moment like this, I say hell with the talking, and I'm going to do more. I'm going to work harder. And if you're a young guy looking for somebody to figure it out and how to do it, yeah, look at me and some of these other guys, because that's exactly what we're doing, is putting our head down, focusing, and doubling down on ourselves.
Yeah, I mean.
By the way, he said during that interview, doubling down on ourselves about 10 times.
Oh,
so, I don't know.
Which kind of just sounds like more talk, does it not?
It is weird whenever you hear somebody saying we're not going to talk because talk's cheap, but I keep talking. But you know what? He has to answer questions. And he even said that later on down the road. He was like, look, man, I've said this already, but here I am standing in front of you guys talking to you. Like, I have to do this because this is part of my job. But I've already said talk's cheap. I want to go out and do my work.
And at the same time, like, I literally don't know what else he could do. You know, like, is there anything that any Cowboys player, I really am curious, is there anything that any Cowboys player could do or say, could say right now that would make you be like, okay? Because I don't think there is.
At the moment, there is only what they are on the field. That's it. What are they on the field? Dak, and my thing about that is Dak has done so much so far this year, but he's, you know, last week he looked like he was pushing. He was pressing. He was looking like he was trying to do too much, holding onto the ball a little too long and all those other things because he's trying to make a big play because he doesn't believe, and I don't think anybody believes, that their defense can make any plays for them. You heard Chris Richard yesterday say forcing turnovers is now the next step. And I wonder, Kevin, do you think that's the next step, or do you think that should have been a step a long time ago? If you're building the mountain, you're building the steps up the mountain to get to the top of it, that you want to have something that you can go lean on at some point. But it feels like they should have been kind of working on that skill set for all year right now. Or were they just teaching them how to cover? And now they're like, okay, and now we do the other part.
Did they teach them how to cover?
I don't know.
Because I feel like that you've seen a lot of regression across the board this week or this year. So I don't know.
And that is that at every position too? And
no, I mean, specifically the defensive backs, although the linebackers have regressed when it comes to tackling. And so maybe it is at a few, not all positions, but a few different positions, especially across the defense.
I do think, though, Kevin, I do think they can still get better at that. There are a lot of things that they can still get better at. That's the great thing, is they're not the best they could possibly be in losing, right? Isn't that if you're having to try and find optimism somewhere, we haven't even played our best ball yet, and we've been close in a lot of these games. Imagine what it's going to be like when we finally do turn that corner.
Well, I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals were the best at losing, and even they screwed that up this weekend. So we were better than the Bengals at losing this weekend.
The head coach seems to be have a message that is permeating throughout the locker room. Everybody in the locker room that's talking is saying the same things that the head coach is saying. And they're sticking pretty close to everything that he's saying right now, too. And Jason Witten was, you know, talking about why the Cowboys players keep reacting to Jason Garrett's message.
My opinion is to be able to provide perspective where the team needs to go and then show how we're going to go get there. You know, and then does the team respond to that, whatever that message may be. And I think the team has responded to his message and what he kind of the blueprint he lays out week in and week out of what's going to allow us to be successful. So, man, look, teams never quit on him. You know, I mean, this team fights hard and plays hard. Just look, it's you got to win games, you know, and that goes for all of us. But all the guys in this locker room would, you know, run through a wall for him. And I think that's never even came in question.
Awesome story, Jason Witten. I'm sorry. I think that's such a dopey quote. The team never quit on him. Great. So you didn't quit on him. I don't care. I'm so tired of hearing people say, well, they didn't quit on him. Who cares? Are they getting the results? Yes or no? Jason Witten, we would run through the wall for this coach. Awesome. But not convert a fourth down or not make a stop when you need to get the ball back. What does that even mean? We would run through a wall for him, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win football games. If it doesn't mean you're going to win football games, I don't care. I'm so sick of listening to people go, oh, the Cowboys try so hard for Jason Garrett. Awesome. And it got him to 6-6. If that's the best, then you need to reevaluate a lot of other things besides just the coach. We need to reevaluate the talent. Because this, if this talent is optimized at 6-6 because they care so much about their coach, then we need to just get a whole bunch of, we just need to start shedding some of these players and get a whole bunch of new ones.
So you didn't buy in on the first part of what he was saying of like Jason Garrett's goal each week is to get us to do this, to get to lay out a vision of what we're supposed to do. And that's what his job is to give us the idea of what we're going to do each week.
No, I do believe that. I just think that he comes up with a singular goal, and this is the goal. And if the game dictates that your goal should shift, he can't or won't.
No, and that's fair. I completely understand that. And that is the next level of becoming a great head coach, right? Being able to take that next place of what you are. Consistently over the last 10 years, he's been able to lay out the message. He's had the players, he's had the guys, and the message each week is here's how we block out the noise. Here's how we come up with our game plan that we're going to deliver. We got to move past it. If you failed in the past, forget about it and move on. And that's why Brett Maher is still here. That's why some guys that haven't been successful are still here, because if they failed in the past, forget about it and move on. Be what we expect that you can be. And that's a good thing. Like, it's a good foundation, but there's another step. There's another place you have to be able to go to. And at the moment, it feels like, is the message, as consistent as it is, stale? And I think that's the because does anybody really fear losing their job? No. Does anybody fear losing playing time if they aren't playing well? No. Does anybody fear losing? Nobody on this team fears losing. Jerry Jones finally stood up and said he was sick of it. But whenever it all came down, he said, well, I mean, I gave my speech. What more can I do?
And Jason Garrett's a really good coach. Like, you heard him this morning with Sean and RJ, and I know we'll get into this at another point in the show, I'm sure, but for everybody who wants Jason Garrett out and they're so sure about it, man, Jerry Jones talks about what a great coach he is, how he checks all these positive boxes, and yet he's still never gotten you to where you want to be. But what is the repercussion for that? Nothing. And that's the thing is, so like the team, look, I am glad that the team didn't quit just in terms of like at least it wasn't 41-7, but you still got your head smashed in against Buffalo on Thanksgiving Day in your building. So if that's the best effort we get from a team that doesn't quit, that's not good enough.
And that's where if you're making that decision to try and, okay, all right, you're looking at Chicago on Thursday night and you're saying to yourself, is this a good barometer of what we are? Or should we smash this team? You should smash them.
Chicago's terrible. Chicago is a terrible, don't listen to anybody who's like, they're a good team. No, they're not. The Chicago Bears suck, and guess what? You have the same record as they do. So what does that mean about your team? I don't know, because I'm sitting here thinking, well, I don't think the Cowboys are a bad team, but they sit here with the exact same record as the Chicago Bears, who are so freaking mediocre. Maybe that's what I should say. Instead of that, I should just say they're the definition of mediocre. Well, then maybe that's the Cowboys. They're 6-6. They're the definition of mediocre, and they might luck into the playoffs because of the garbage division that they're in. But at least nobody quit on the coach.
From the 469, if I remember correctly, Garrett said a number of times, if you follow, stick to the process, you'll get the results you're after. Maybe it's time to change the process. Maybe the message, as I said, is stale. Now, Kevin, this might make you mad. Jerry Jones was asked if the team is starting to lose the message.
No, I don't think this team has in any way lost the ability to rise above a mentality of disappointment, to have good body language, to have to walk tall, walk on his toes, walk out there on the next play, and just be seemingly more aggressive together. This team hasn't lost that at all. As a matter of fact, it may be emboldened to get that quicker.
But that is not what wins in the current NFL. The fact that you can get beat on a play and roll back out there, that's awesome. You know what I need, though? I need to know that you got beat on a conversion for a third down, and the next third down, you won't get beat in the exact same manner. I need to know that you can examine the game in a bubble, specifically if you have to, and say, I know we want to be balanced, but the passing attack is destroying them, especially in the red zone, so let's stick with that. I don't need to go, oh, man, did you see Cheeto got beat, but he just got right back out there. Awesome. And then what happened? Did he get beat again and we gave up another first down? I need to know that you can make the adjustment and say, I'm going to change my hand placement or my vision placement, or I'm going to adjust my hips so I can tackle better and stop that third down, or I'm going to audible out of this play so we can get a first down. I need those tangible changes. Not we're all sticking together for this one vision.
But you got to do that first, Kevin. You have to have that foundation
okay,
first.
Okay, here's the vision. Here's my vision, Cowboys. Let's go win the game. Vision over. There should be no more discussion about the vision this week. What is the vision? I hope that we beat Chicago. You know what? We will beat Chicago. No more vision talk.
Shippy, do you think that that quote from Jerry made him mad? I thought it might.
Man, what's good is we got 2020 coming up, speaking of vision.
Yeah, that's, Kevin, I also wanted to throw this out there. This might make you... You know what? This should make you happy. Here you go. I got something that's going to make you happy. We're in first place. And the Dolphins lost, the Dolphins beat the Eagles on Sunday. So we're in first place, man. There's nothing to worry about.
Oh, my God. What are you doing? You know what? You're going to get a call from the Cowboys and say, you're the man for the job. Come on board. What position is it? Who the hell knows? We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. One particular player who hasn't let us down, Amari Cooper. He finally answers the age-old question about the home and road splits that we haven't been able to figure out. What is his answer? I swear if he says something about vision, I might just say the F word. We'll do it next.
No,
right
don't
here
do
the
that,
fan.
Please.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.